Motherfucking right. You gotta encourage me the whole way long.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for tuning in. Wake the fuck up, y'all. You're listening to Live. That's right. You're listening to Nestorius Public Radio Live from Skid Row Studios, beautiful downtown, dark, ditty, shitty, gritty, downtown L.A. So before we get started, write this number down, 800-893-9562, and tune in and call people and do all you got to do. We got a dope-ass show. You got my man Simon Kaufman.
How's everybody doing out there?
We got a special guest, man. We got this homeless motherfucker that I met down. We're on South Olive Street, and there was this dude begging for money, and I decided to just talk to him, and it turns out it's Jack McGee. I don't know if you guys know this dude. Jack's...
Hey, what's up, baby?
Yeah, Jack McGee.
I need to talk to the police.
Yeah, it turns out, seriously, this dude...
I got three girls locked up in my house now for about 10 years. I've been banging the shit out of them, and all of a sudden some motherfucker goes out for a Mickey D, and I got my ass turned in. That ain't right.
But it turns out this is... Hold on a second. This is the... Jack McGee. IMDb this motherfucker. Jack McGee. He's been in every fucking thing from he was in The Fighter. He was in what's the name of that movie? Gangster Squad.
Showgirls.
My favorite Showgirls. My favorite role that he did was on Rescue Me. That was my favorite. But he's been in all sorts of shit. Turk 182. Just Google the motherfucker.
And this is how my career is turning out. Yeah. I'm down here in this crazy ass bullshit place with you.
Homeless.
With a crack head for an engineer.
Homeless.
And a young Jewish boy trying to leaving chocolates all over the city.
Homeless. Motherfuckers homeless.
What the hell am I doing down here?
800-893-9562. Do your homework first before you call in, okay? Because we don't want nobody uneducated calling in.
Don't want nobody uneducated.
We don't want anybody who has not done their homework.
Yeah, just get that smart motherfuckers in here.
That's right. And doesn't know who Jack motherfucking Gee is, okay? Mm-hmm. Look.
There it is. Oh, man.
My engineer.
No,
it's
not hookah. He's just bowling up.
Yo, my engineer.
I didn't know the bowl season was over.
My engineer Nick just fucking whipped out a glass bowl and started.
It's Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, that's right.
Motherfucker.
You're going to get yourself a merit badge for that.
This is what we're dealing with here.
I might be in there in 2 minutes.
Yo.
For a nice mint. I like those mint ones.
Clear up that turkey jerky.
This is what we're fucking doing here. This is what we're up to tonight here. This beautiful, glorious day. SkidRowStudios.com. This is what we're up to, man. You know what I mean? This is out of control.
You know, I'll tell you, for those of you that don't know, I'm sure a lot of you do, the Nestorius Public Radio, after only 3 episodes for the last week, was on the top of new and noteworthy podcasts on iTunes. We were at the top. We were right underneath Mark Maron. And so...
That's good.
Yeah, we're huge, bro. Mm-hmm. We're fucking huge.
Just ask us.
What did you say, nigga?
We get premier parking spots now across from the studio.
Yo, bust it. We were running late because we usually take the train and shit. And, you know, I'm tired of fucking homeless ass, stinky ass, ditty gritty motherfuckers on the train.
No, we're huge now.
No, and then the metro, you know, which is fine coming down. You get a little culture, which you don't do in L.A. because you're driving around. You're fucking engulfed in your car.
That's right. This show's all about culture.
Right. So when we are ready to go home after the show, the beautiful metro always shuts down the line for like an hour. So we got to fucking wait an hour to get home.
We're the top of iTunes. You're going to shut down the line. We're the fucking top.
You know what I'm saying?
New and noteworthy,
that's
bro.
How we got a podcast.
That's us. Yeah. That's us.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? We ain't got time for this bullshit.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
We ain't got time for this bullshit. So Simon, you did a little homework here on Jack. Jack McGee. You know, aside from being homeless. Listen, guys, just so you guys know, whenever you see a homeless guy, and as we've reported in the past here on the Nestorius Public Radio Show, There was a homeless guy at the 7-Eleven asking for money, and the dude said no, and he torched the guy's car. When you see a homeless guy asking for money, or just maybe a little bit of your attention, you know, be kind, okay? Connect as a soul. You know what I'm saying? Because you never know who that person could have been or is. And at the bottom line, at the end of the day,
that's somebody's son.
He's a human.
That's somebody's brother.
He's a human.
That's right.
She is somebody's daughter. She may have been somebody's mother. You know what I'm saying? So keep that in mind.
She could have been a motherfucker.
That's right. That's right.
You know, but
just because we don't always make the right decisions in life doesn't mean that, you know, you don't deserve, you know, the same amount of love.
It's easy to be kind.
It's easy to be. It's free.
Takes work to be an asshole.
It's free.
Yeah, it's free.
Kindness is free.
Right.
And
that's why I'm being kind, coming down here with you two assholes.
Coming down here? You already down here.
No, you took me down here. You made me take the subway while you took the car. Shit, what's up with that?
Oh, my God.
Ain't nobody got no time for that.
So right off the bat, you started out, well, you were a firefighter.
Right.
In New York City.
In the Bronx.
But
10 years.
But before that, this wasn't one of these things like, you know, you were a firefighter and one day you woke up and said, fuck this, you know, I want to become an actor. You were already doing theater. You had auditioned with
Ron
Howard.
I was doing a lot of theater back as a kid. I started off as a singer in the hallways and the bathrooms, the black guys in the projects in the South Bronx.
That's right.
And then I got an opportunity to audition for The Music Man on Broadway. Myself, a little guy named Eddie Hodges, and the guy who ultimately got the movie, a guy named Ron Howard.
Right.
So Eddie Hodges got the Broadway show, Ron Howard got the movies, and my fat Irish ass went back to the projects.
Home is where the heart
that's
is.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
And things happen
it don't
for
matter
a reason.
Where you went back to, it's where you're going.
And then 35 years later, I ran into Ron Howard again, and I've worked with him 5 times since then, so that's never right. Give up on your dream.
That's right. So you met Ron Howard again 35 years later. He said, hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you. My name is Ron Howard, and you said...
I said, well, actually, we've met before. We spent a couple of days at the Majestic Theater in 1957, and his eyes just widened up, and I told him the story, and he was just blown away. And he said, we worked with each other a few times.
What did you say, nigga?
And you were like, yeah, it was...
Nobody got no time for that.
and you said that was Backdraft. That was the movie Backdraft. That's where you met him at?
That's right, yeah. I met him on the movie Backdraft. Wow. Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting. But now we'll go back a teeny bit more because I like that era. I like the formative years. I like the years where you don't know what the fuck's gonna happen in your life. You're young. You're dumb. You ain't full of cum yet because you ain't even at you haven't even hit 13. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
or maybe you did hit 13.
There
at
was
that
a
point.
Couple. It was an Asian boy.
Yeah. But you were around 8 around this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I was yeah? 8 years old. 8 years when this old. Thing. I didn't know what I was doing.
So you were. That's what I'm saying. 8 years old. At 8 years old, I'm not going to tell you what I was doing at 8 years, but I lived in the projects like you.
Right.
So 8 years old, and you were doing Bobby Lyman songs? Bobby?
Frankie Lyman.
Ooh, 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 why do fools fall in love? Yeah, right. Kick it. Yeah. I want to hear you sing
why
that shit.
Why do birds sing so gay? Love is the way to make the day. Why do they fall in love? All right.
Now that's some dope shit.
Yeah, that's what
that's
I knew.
That's dope shit.
That's what I knew.
No, but that
as a
song
kid.
Right there,
yeah,
quintessential.
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck if you were born in 1965, 2005, 2015. If you don't know that song, if you don't know Bobby Lyman, why do fools fall in love?
Oh, his brother Frankie.
Dude, his brother Frankie. What was the name of the group they were a part of?
Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers.
And the Teenagers.
Yeah, there was a lot of groups back then, a lot of doo-wop groups.
But that particular group, that's right. Dope. And then, if you fast forward, we're going to jump all over the place. Right. You did Rescue Me.
Right.
And then you worked with Black Sean,
right.
Lorenz Tate,
right.
Who played Bobby Lyman in Why Do Fools Fall in Love?
Oh, you see, now that's something I didn't know, you know, because what happened was when Tate came along, I was on my way out. Take him in the season that I left Rescue Me.
Okay, okay.
So I ran into him a couple of times. I've seen him a few times.
So you
but
didn't
I didn't
work with him.
I didn't know that tidbit. No, I was gone by the time he came.
Oh, you
along.
Didn't know that he played Bobby Lyman?
No, this is all great information.
Yo. Could I say something, man? To Lorenz Tate.
I got
to
check it out.
Lorenz Tate.
He's got a nice deal on now House of Lies, too. He's playing Don Cheadle's brother on House of Lies.
He's one of the
he's
most.
Good.
He's a great actor.
Yeah. He's a good actor.
Big up Lorenz Tate. Big up Lorenz Tate. They fuck you every time you do a good role.
What about Sharon Tate?
Big up
to to all your fools, you're falling in love, yeah.
Make sure you're 23.
That's the guy who's got the chocolates down to 7-Eleven.
Make sure you're 23 before you fall in love.
Big up to the homeless guy that got the chocolates at 7-Eleven, man.
Big up, you fucking low, you lucky homeless motherfucker. Big up. Hey, yo. Yo, welcome to the ADD segment of Nestorius Public Radio. If you've just tuned in, we got none other than the baddest motherfucker from the Bronx, ex-firefighter, super magically delicious actor, been in all over the motherfucking place.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Jack McGee.
The South IMDb Bronx. Him. The South Bronx.
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 The South Bronx. The South Bronx.
Got the Puerto Rican girls.
There you go. All right. Simon gave a big up to iTunes. We gotta give a big up to iTunes. Big up iTunes. Big the fuck up to iTunes. iTunes did put Nestorius Public Radio on the top left on the front page of their new and noteworthy podcast. And since then, we've been getting like, did you just say all this before?
Yo, we're blowing up, son. We're big time, bro. We get premier parking spots at the parking lot, baby. We're parking, baby.
You don't stop. We got the podcast that be blowing up on the cock. Say what?
Parking. We get free parking.
Parking.
You guys are so white.
We're so huge, we don't even need the chocolates. We just give them away. Yeah. We just leave them places.
Yo,
dropping chocolates.
With that, vanilla ice.
Yeah.
So you worked with Vanilla Ice.
I worked with Vanilla Ice. I got the opportunity to go for 2 days on Parenthood or 2 weeks on a movie called Cooler's Ice with Vanilla Ice.
Cooler's Ice.
And I knew nothing about Vanilla Ice at all. Nothing about rap. Didn't know what the heck was about. Let me see what this kid's like. And I got to tell you, if I'd have been on Parenthood, it might have gotten cut out. But I got 2 weeks on this thing called Cooler's Ice, and people dig it up all the time. But the truth about it is that ain't nobody got time for that. And Vanilla Ice was a great experience. He was a pretty good guy.
Well, yeah. You know, one of the things about as a fellow white guy with great hair, a slick white guy with really nice hair, I can really relate to Vanilla Ice. Mm. And one of the classic lines from that movie, I don't know if you know this.
Go ahead. Well,
he's on the motorcycle and he says, "Drop the zero and get with the hero."
I know he said that. Yeah.
If you've never said that to a woman, I mean, come on, that's a great line.
That is a great line.
You walk up to a girl in a bar.
I've only actually watched it once.
That's a great fucking line. Yeah. You walk, drop the zero and get with the hero.
Hey, yo, homie.
And there's a guy that had a lot of stuff going on because he got accused of not being who he was.
Of not being black and then not being white. Stuff.
And now he's got an organization that helps rebuild homes for people.
Right, so now he's a home improvement wizard.
Everybody's got a journey.
Everybody's got a journey. Everybody got the right to do what they believe they're set out to do. And just because you fail at the beginning or you don't get the results instantaneously doesn't mean that you're a failure or you're fake or whatever. You know, everyone's got the right to explore their individual spiritual journey.
It's all according to what you're doing. Exactly, man. We all still make mistakes on a daily basis. I made a mistake by telling you I'd come on this show. You know what I mean? But then you just suit up and show up, and then the magic happens, you know?
You know it. You know it.
It's all good.
It's
all good. And Vanilla Ice was a good guy. He had his posse around him. He was good to all the kids that come down because there were a couple of hundred kids came to the set all the time just to get a peek from him. And he came out of the trailer and he was cool to everybody. And I don't even think there's a couple other guys. Deezer D is another friend of mine.
Deezer D.
Yeah, my buddy. He was in that movie as well. So you meet some people in these small shows that you have lifelong friendships with.
Yeah. My boy E-Rock. We'll give him a big up because E-Rock is my boy.
Mm-hmm.
E-Rock is definitely my boy. We're gonna give E-Rock a big up in a minute as soon as I find my fucking template here. But E-Rock, big up E-Rock, big up Eric Goldman, big the fuck up Woodstock,
E-Rock,
big up Dick and Susan Goldman. Big the fuck up for raising your kid right. Big up, big up. Yeah, E-Rock was doing work with Deezer D. And so we know Deezer D through E-Rock and shit. And, you know, then in Boston, there's E-Mac and Bolio. Completely unrelated, but it's the precursor to Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Now, I just had a fucking ADD moment. It has nothing to do...
Oh, E-Rock and Bolio's is down on Amsterdam Avenue, too.
That's right, that's right, that's right. E-Mac and Bolio.
Yeah,
E-Mac and Bolio. We're going to start giving random advertising props to people. Yeah,
sure,
fuck it. Because
sure.
That's the way... That's so you see, people always put... The carriage in front of the horse. We tend to do that.
Well, we do that because we have ADD.
But a lot of
we
people
put
do.
Two carriages.
We're going to put the horse in front of the carriage, and we're going to give a big the fuck up to E-Mac and Bolio all over the East Coast. E-Mac and Bolio, big up, man. Big up,
E-Mac and Bolio.
Yeah. Caramel Crunch.
Yeah. So back to Jack McGee, man. I really want to. You know, we're going to go all over the place, which is beautiful because your IMDb page reads like a fucking blueprint for the New York City subway map system. You know, it just fucking goes all over the fucking place.
It does, doesn't it?
This shit is crazy.
Yeah.
This shit is crazy.
You sleep around, that's what happens.
Yo, but the thing is, you see, how long do I know you now? We know each other for about
20 minutes.
No, we know each other seriously like about 5-6 years.
Oh, maybe at least that. At six least, or 7 years.
At least.
Yeah.
And the first day I met you,
it was just one kiss.
Yeah, but it's not the kiss. It's not the kiss. It's the energy that two human beings transfer to each other as if...
And we the two human beings that are alive want us to get away from them.
Yeah. But as if we knew each other
right.
For fucking, like, a lifetime. Like, as if we grew up with each other.
Well, we did.
That's how it is.
It was a different world back then,
different
but we
world,
did.
Right. Different time period, whatever. Right.
There's a scientific principle for every nut job, there's an equal or opposite nut job out there.
Yeah, well, that's how it is.
That's how it is.
We're going to talk about nut jobs later on because we, you know, nut
jobs.
That was pretty deep. Like when I met Nestor,
yeah,
we hit it off right off
that.
The bat.
Yeah. Well, that's another episode, dude, when you and I met.
Well,
but, go ahead.
Well, no, one of the movies that you did, which I think is really interesting, which I think a lot of listeners would want to hear, is the transition because you were a firefighter.
Right.
And you were doing acting.
Right.
And you got your big break in a movie. And the reason I want to mention this, which is so cool when I was looking this over, is this is also a movie. Nestor, I don't know if you know this. My grandparents on my father's side were in this movie also because I'm a fourth generation actor in my father's side. And my grandparents were in the movie as extras in Turk 182.
We were just talking about that, and that was the first speaking role I had in the film.
Yeah.
So it was a breakthrough. That was a big deal. And I remember that, you know, you go and you tell it to everybody, and of course, Turk 182 is a movie with Robert Urich and Timothy Hutton. It was about firemen, blah, 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 back there. And you tell everybody, I was still on the fire department at the time, tell everybody you get your first speaking part in a movie, and they had a big benefit for the opening performance.
They're like, shut the fuck up and just roll the fucking hose.
They were like, and I invited them all down. Yeah, come down. I was down at Times Square, and I didn't realize because I was still a new kid on the block that it just because they pay you to be an actor in it doesn't mean they're going to keep your scenes.
Wow.
And what happened was they cut out every time I went to speak, they cut out all my lines. But that, in fact, was the first film I ever worked on. And that was a great bit of news to find out that your grandparents were in that film as well.
Yeah, it's a small world.
Mm-hmm. It's a small world. But just so y'all know out there, it really has nothing to do with whether your acting skills were on the money or not. It basically comes down to the timing of the film. I think you mentioned it in one of your interviews that the film is really done in the editing room.
Right.
I believe you said that. But it's a common knowledge for those people who are in the business that there's a script.
Yeah.
Then there's, you know, the production.
Right.
Right. Then there's the issues and the dynamic between the director, the money people, the studios, all that bullshit.
Right.
Then there's the editor. The editor cuts his shit, and that may be the cut, maybe the director's cut, maybe the studio cut. And right. So it really goes down to the cut.
There are so many different aspects, so many different departments, so many different people have their hand in making something like that happen. When you hear people talking in the business about saying that, like for instance, The Fighter, Mark Wahlberg said he'd be trying to make that film for 7 years. And you think to yourself, well, Jesus, Mark Wahlberg, he's got enough clout. But there's so many variables that come into play there. And then ultimately, Ron Howard, we were sitting around shooting the bull, and Ron Howard said for him, It's just gathering as much material as he possibly can. Right. And then he goes into the room and he makes the movie.
Right, right.
You know, because that's where the magic, I think, happens. It happens all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And from when it comes from the written page, and it's hard for me to ever imagine. When they ask me if I read a script, I'll read it, but I can't envision what these guys have in mind and what the flavor of film goes. So it's pretty overwhelming when you realize what a minute part you play in these different projects that you work on.
Right. And I think that's an interesting point. So Mark Wahlberg went from rapper, like fucking Vanilla Ice.
Right.
But then he took it to another level.
Well, he went from juvenile delinquent.
Right, 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 right. Well, that's his experience. But yeah. But he went from that to hot. Listen, if I was a girl, I would have blown him. I'm telling you right now.
It's not too late.
No, I know that.
Life's all about choices.
No, exactly.
You get your big break.
You don't have to be a girl to blow him. I mean, do you?
Technically, no.
I mean, you met him. Do you think he'd let me blow him?
You could marry the man now.
I think he falls under the category of not being that choosy. Yeah, he might let you.
Yo, seriously, that motherfucker is hot.
Yeah, man.
That motherfucker is hot.
He might see them two gold teeth and just be turned on by it.
Yeah. I think it's if you put a nice wig, I think that's really what it comes down to. You got to get a nice wig.
Big up Mark Wahlberg.
Big
the fuck up.
Mark Wahlberg
you
with a wig on ya.
White motherfucker, six pack Irish fuck from South Boston. Big up. I'm a big Mark Wahlberg fan.
I'll never work with him again.
I'm a big Mark Wahlberg fan only because he's classy.
Yeah, he is classy.
He's classy and he's got finesse. Like Jack was just saying, he was a street thug to come on.
Yeah, but you know when you think about
feel
him,
feel it.
What he gives all.
Oh wait, what was that song? Wait.
It's just a sweet sensation.
Sweet vibration.
Come on.
You got to.
All he did was come on. That was his line.
That's
as a
all
rapper.
He needed to do.
Yeah, that's all
you. But you know his big deal was because he had a priest that believed in him.
He
had a priest that believes in him. He's gone back to that same place and he's bought gymnasiums.
Oh, yeah.
He's putting kids through school.
Oh, yeah.
He had an opportunity to get turned around.
That's right.
He might be one of them guys that we were talking about that could have been out in front of a 7-Eleven.
That's right.
All you got to do
is give
somebody a shot.
Just be nice to somebody, is all. Be kind. It's free. Again, that's going to be the running theme for this episode of Nestorius Public Radio. Listen, I know you motherfuckers are listening out there. 1-800-893-9562. Jack don't bite. You know, I know you got questions. I know you want to ask him all sorts of shit. We haven't even scratched the fucking dandruff covered surface of my cranium on all this shit here. We're going to fucking get illy dilly, manilly, fucking all over the motherfucking place. You know what I mean? So as we're doing this, I'm trying to post on Facebook and I'm trying to get a fucking picture of you, Jack, up on there.
I can't believe you didn't have your
picture. No, I did. No, I did.
We got a picture of Michael Chiklis up there, don't you?
No, I did, Dennis Quaid. But this fucking thing isn't letting me do it. It's just like, I already did put a picture of you.
I brought 20 or 30 with me.
I did. No, I got you, man. I got you. Here we go. No, you know, Facebook has these things to upload. And anyway,
right. You
know what? Facebook, thank you, baby. We love you, Facebook. We love you.
They better know who I am now anyway.
Anyway, by the way.
Ain't nobody got no time for that.
By the way. Big up to all you Facebook users that got nothing to do with your life.
Big up.
Big up that you be wasting your employer's time. Big up. Big up. Big up. You're always on Facebook during 9 to 5. Big up. You do nothing for the employer except post on Facebook. Nothing. You do nothing but like on Facebook. Big up to your lazy goats.
I like that horn. You know what that horn reminds me of?
What?
The horn when the New York Rangers scored a goal.
Yo, that's the same horn.
That's the same horn.
That's a score. That's the same.
That's
and
great.
Motherfuckers
are throwing
beer bottles and shit.
No, they won last night. They were down 2-0. They come back and beat Washington. It's 2-1 now. We're going to even it up tomorrow night.
Oh, right on. Did you play hockey? Because I know I did as a kid, but I
wasn't very good.
You weren't very good.
I played out on the lake. We used to go up sometimes in the winter to a lake up in upstate New York, Putnam Lake, and we skate out there. But I wasn't a good skater. I coached a lot of hockey. I coached the fire department hockey team in New York.
That's tight.
That's my game.
And you also
tight.
Go out to my neck of the woods. We were talking about you like spending time on Vashon Island.
Vashon
For those
Island,
of you that don't
David
know.
David and Daniel, our two best friends in the world, live up there on Vashon Island. They have 15 acres overlooking the Puget Sound.
Isn't it gorgeous?
It's spectacular.
Where is this?
Vashon Island is a ferry ride from Seattle.
Yeah.
And it's very beautiful, very artistic. It's actually, when I started comedy, when I was brand new, it was one of the very first shows where they just loved me.
Great.
Because it's more of an intellectual, you know, academic type. You know, they're smarter. They're artists.
They're a hippie artist crowd out there.
Yeah, but they're older hippies. They're not the hippies where you just start doing drugs at 9 and you think you're a hippie because you tear your jeans. They're hippies that actually understand the issues and they're, you know, and so I was, I try to do more smarter jokes, and it was one of the first times because I was doing places like the biker bars and shit where the place, the whole bar
wherever
looks like Willie Nelson.
Yeah, wherever you get up.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it looks like a Willie Nelson lookalike competition.
Willie, nilly, vanilly, dilly. Now I'm saying popping popcorn upside your motherfucking head. You know what I'm saying? Taking all the bed bugs out your bed, cleaning your sheets. Know what I mean? In between the motherfucking toenails, fungus. You don't stop. Superfluous.
Yeah.
We're jamming, we're rocking, we're doing our shit live. Know what I'm saying?
To all you authentic stand-up comedians doing authentic comedy in front of people that look like cast members from Lost and Game of Thrones out in the middle of nowhere.
Yo, seriously? Big up! Big up to all you live performance artists! Big up! Big the fuck up! Stand-up comedians, live theater actors!
Live and direct!
Big up to all you ballet dancers! Big up to all you musicians, you musical folk that get up in the fucking morning and don't give a fuck about the sense of purpose but create one.
Big up to all your parking lot attendants attending the parking lots and parking the cars, man.
Big up to all you Mexican parking attendants in Los Angeles. Big up. You make our lives easier.
I like to live in America. Talk about me in America. 12 in a room in America. You forget I'm in America.
There you go. A little West Side Story. That's why, you know, the real reason I invited Jack, once I knew who he was after I was being kind to a homeless person on the street, is because I knew that he had multiple personalities. I could just tell within 5 minutes when he was asking us for money, right, Salmon?
Yeah.
He was asking us for change. I gave him a couple of lint balls, not the hairy fuzzy ones, but the chocolate ones.
Big up for lint balls! Big up for lint balls!
Big up! Big up for lint balls! Big up! Listen, if you feel like...
Big up for Lucille Ball.
Big up for Lucille Ball. Big up, big, big up.
Big up for basketball.
Big up for basketball.
Big up for baseball.
Big up for baseball.
Big up to ballistic missiles.
Big up for ballistic missiles.
Big up for New Year's Ball.
Big up for Monsters Ball.
Big up for bald head motherfuckers.
Big up for ball sack. See, that's why I'm telling you, this is what I'm talking about here on This Story is Public Radio. You know, but listen, Jack has so many fucking things going on in his life. All jokes aside, we here at This Story is Public Radio, we're really grateful I'm grateful and I'm blessed that I know you.
I love you.
I love you, mm-hmm. Seriously. I'm grateful. You're a humanitarian. You volunteer your time. Every time I see you, you're doing some shit. You do an annual, at least one that I know of, a fundraiser for a local LAFD chief. Was he a chief?
Well, he was a captain.
Captain that passed away in the line of duty.
Actually, he was a firefighter. I'm hooked up with it. Yeah, he's a guy named Glenn Allen. Who came to help my wife a couple of years ago on Fryman Canyon. We were hiking, and my wife and I were hiking on Super Bowl Sunday, and she just took slid. She wasn't on a big incline. She slid on the gravel, and she hit a certain way where she broke a left hip and a left wrist. Ooh. On Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, shit. There goes all the tortilla chips. There goes all the hot dogs, the hamburgers. There go all the grubbing motherfuckers that are going to be knocking
big
on your door.
To football.
So wait,
Super Bowl.
You missed the game.
We all the balls except football.
We
Super Bowl.
Football. Yeah.
So wait. You know what? Hold on. Big the fuck up to soccer balls. All right.
So you missed the Super Bowl to go hiking?
No.
No, no.
What I did is I went up on the hike before the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Once my wife fell down, I said, I'll be back in 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I come back. Actually, I come back at halftime, so I was only out for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
No, we took it to the, we called the ambulance. They had come all the way up the hill and come up and navigate that hill and brought the ambulance up there. And the guy that came out of there was a guy named Glenn Allen, who took care of her and brought her to the emergency room. And about a week later, usually what you do, having been a fireman, you go back to that firehouse and you want to buy them a meal and thank the guys for that. Pick up a meal for them and bring it in and say
right.
thanks. And I went
right.
back up there and I found out that 3 days after he came and helped her on the mountain, that he was the guy that was killed in that Hollywood Hills fire where they they lost the fire.
Oh, shit. And when was this? A couple years back?
It was 2 years ago.
Oh, two years?
Giants?
Yes,
when the Giants were in the
ago.
Super Bowl?
No, the Giants weren't in it then. No, the Giants weren't in it. I don't know. No, I don't know exactly when. It's all cloudy. But that was the reality. Is that this guy that came to help out. And I do a musical thing every year at my house.
Yes.
And I just turned it from a musical event that I like to do, a March Music Madness. And there was a purpose for me now. So 2 years ago, we turned it into a bit of a fundraiser. And then this year, we did it again. And we were able to raise so far about $5,500 on two different days. For his grandchild was born 2 days after he was buried.
Oh, right,
so
right.
There's a little kid there that Nate was there. So we did it.
Big up for Musical Madness. Big the fuck up. Is there a place? Do you have a website where people can donate money?
I don't, because it's done at my house. But I think what I'm going to do is I may move it out of my house because you were there. You guys were so great to come by later and help us.
I always come by after it's over to help you put your shit together.
Because I tell you,
because I love you, man.
I tell you it's late. Everybody else comes at noon. I tell you it doesn't start till 5.
That's how we roll.
But what happens is that now it's gotten so big that I think I may have to move it to another venue. In that case, then maybe I put up a website. But right now it's just kind of like a grassroots type of thing. And a lot of people that I know come in. There's 50 musicians that come in and play music all day, music from the 60s.
Yep.
And it's a great day.
Yep.
So, and I think about doing stuff for other people.
Yep.
Well, you got to do that. In order for me to keep what I got and the goodness and all the great things that I have in my life, like you and now the cough man, I have to give it away. Coffin.
God, well, you know what? That reefer was good.
Coffin on a Sunday afternoon.
Noon. Doon, 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 doon. All right, hold on.
Back up to the rascals.
Could you please give us the deceased firefighter's name again?
His name is Glenn Allen.
Glenn Allen, big up to you in the beautiful resting place that you may not be now, that you may now be. Big up to your family. Big up to all the firefighters that volunteer. That, you know, most people don't know this, but in major cities, the tax dollars go to paying the firefighters.
Right.
In a lot of towns and a lot of cities.
Like these wildfires just happened. A lot of volunteers.
Volunteer. Now, I want to take a moment of silence, and I'm being serious, okay? Big up. You know what I'm saying? Big up.
Thanks, man.
Hey, caller, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantabulous. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Nestor, this is Tom Houghton.
Tom!
Hey, Jack, it's Tom Houghton. How are you?
Tom Houghton, what's up, baby?
What are you doing, Tommy?
I'm hanging out, trying to take a nap, and here you guys are on the air. I can't sleep.
Oh, man, I miss you.
Tom, what are you doing, man? Are you fucking slinging scripts, or what are you doing?
I'm in New York.
You're in New York?
You're in a tent. Are you in a tent right now?
No.
Because usually you spend a lot of time in a tent when you're on the set.
Tom lives in Harlem. You know that?
Right. Yeah. I know that. I've been to his house.
Tom got a dope-ass brownstone in Harlem.
I know
that.
We're
in Harlem. Shit from soup to nuts. Like, what is that, 127th?
Close. Behind the Apollo, in the 30s,
Hey, just so you know, Tom Houghton is one of the most amazing...
director of photography.
DPs and TV.
He worked for a lot of all those years on Rescue Me.
Rescue Me,
Okay, I lived on 119th and Lenox.
Yeah.
That's when they started to allow Jews in that area.
But the Jews owned all the property.
Actually,
they didn't live there no more.
Actually, not in Harlem.
No, not in Harlem.
Go ahead, Tom.
No, Jack, you were here. Yeah, you helped burn that. We had a fire here.
Yeah, we used Tom's house as part of a, when he was starting to renovate it, and it was still gutted.
Oh, wow.
They used that as one of the fire scenes.
Oh, really?
And they created fire in a couple of the windows there. So,
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Hey, Tommy, I'm coming back there for a couple of days at the end of May. Are you going to be home then?
Give me a call. You never know.
Please.
No, I miss you.
Yeah, I'd love to see you and your girl.
Tom, can I give you a call too?
Yeah, sure does. And tell Rosemary can too.
Rosemary can too. Right. Actually, you know, if all works out well, Jack is in a new pilot that if it gets picked up, right. What's the name of the pilot?
It's called the McCarthys for CBS. We'll know this week.
All right, if it gets picked up, and we'll get back on there. I want to let you get back to your nap, Tom. Yeah. But if it gets picked up, Jack is going to be in New York at the end of the week. That'd be Friday, and I'm going to New York tomorrow. So who knows? We might take you out for a Papaya King hot dog.
I shot the Jim Gaffigan pilot.
Oh, shot him with Peter Tolan.
Yeah.
Right. So I imagine it's either going to be him or us.
Wow.
I know. So Jack, you know, I was watching Gangster Squad.
Ah.
And I heard you before I saw you in that movie.
Yeah.
I said, that's got to be Jack in that scene. And there it was.
Now you see that? That right there, that's a gift.
Tommy Howden's a gift.
But that's a gift to have the voice that when the fucking audio is edited slightly before the fucking scene.
He was off camera. Jack was off camera.
Okay.
In another room.
Got it.
And he was shouting. He's probably shouting. Right.
He was yelling.
Wait a minute. That's Jack.
That's funny because you don't realize what you sound like. And then I get that a lot from a lot of people, friends and family, too. Say, I was in the other room and I need, but apparently it's been distinctive and I'm still fooling them. Tommy, it's great to hear from you.
Yeah, you guys take care. Nestor, good luck on the show.
Thank you, Tom, man. Thank you so much for calling and listening in, man. Big fan, big fan. Right. Big up. Big up, Tom Holton.
Big up, Tom
Holton.
Tommy.
Uptown Harlem in the motherfuckers cannot be seen.
Only white man in all of Harlem.
The trendsetter. The evolutionary white man to break the ground in Harlem.
The Jackie Robinson of Harlem.
That's right. That's fucking right.
That's great.
That's fucking right. That's what I'm fucking talking about here. So, you're listening to Nestorious Public Radio.
What's that phone number?
1-800-893-9562. And listen, I just want to throw in a couple of things. If you guys have any comments, any questions, any concerns, any fucking complaints, do me a favor, email me. Email us at nestorious@gmail.com. This dude, I'm throwing that in there. I'm going to throw in a plug for a friend of mine who has a cafe/restaurant in Valley Village, not far from where we live.
Who's that?
This is, he's also a camera operator. Rick is his name. I forget his last name. Forgive me, Rick. I love you. You know that shit. You got big motherfucking bodacious arms. You're a sexy fuck, too. Anyway.
Harvest Moon.
We're gonna start doing advertising here on
Magnolia Boulevard.
On Magnolia and Whitsett.
Just east of Whitsett on the south side of the street.
That's right. Big up Harvest Moon. It's just west of the post office. Big up. The address is 12456. 12456 Magnolia Boulevard. Valley Village 91607. And if you want to go to their website, harvestmoonco.com. Do it up, man. Pay them a visit. They got the most amazing fucking lemonades. They got grilled cheese sandwiches. My man Rick's wife is the head chef there. She makes this cracked bacon, thick cut bacon, salted and fucking drenched in maple syrup, and then they fry that shit like sizzle. You know what?
Big up for sizzle.
Big the fuck up. Because, you know, everyone needs a little sizzle in their life.
You ain't lying.
All right. Now, we're going to... Dude, this is... I think we may have to fucking record, like, another episode after this one's over.
Oh, man, I can't be here that long, man. I got the pop up.
If you, Rick, and Mark Wahlberg were in a hot tub...
Who? Jack, Rick?
No, you said he has both... You like his arms.
If Mark Wahlberg and Rick were
drinking lemonade in a hot tub...
I'd blow Mark Wahlberg. Okay. Rick would have to wait. But before I'd blow Mark Wahlberg, I'd run the tip of my fingers ever so gently, like almost as if they're not really making contact with his skin... up and down his six-pack. I would just do
that. That's a good move you got.
You know what I'm saying? You guys can't really see it, but it's all about...
No, you got me moist already. Beat me up for moist.
It's all about the erotic foreplay. It's not the actual contact. It's the insinuated. You know what I mean? The breath.
It's just my insinuation. Wanting me. Running away from you, girl. It's just my insinuation. nation.
Shooby away from you.
Big up for us.
Hey, yo, big up for Jeremy. Big up for Nick. Big up for SkidRowStudios.com. Hey, yo, we're going to do another plug for all y'all motherfuckers out there. We got amazing programming on SkidRowStudios.com. We got other shows here. Make sure you visit SkidRowStudios.com. Go up to the show menu and just peep out some of the shows, man. There's always some crazy shit going on.
Didn't you do a promo?
Oh, shit.
I think
hold on. Y'all niggas are in for some real
y'all
shit.
Y'all ain't ready for
y'all
this,
niggas
y'all.
Y'all niggas are in for some real shit.
Y'all ain't ready, y'all.
Yeah. Y'all niggas are in for some real shit. Motherfucking gritty, illy-dilly type motherfucking shit.
W from the wall to the door. What you wanna do? Do you want some hardcore? Do you like it raw? South Olive, downtown LA. Skid Row Studios, motherfucker.
Yo, coming to you live and direct.
Live and direct. Wrecked. That's what I'm talking about. We do all sorts of type of shit. We cook flambés. We make hamburgers, hot dogs, you know what I mean? Cheerios and stereo, you know what I'm saying? We spit out lyrical buckshot so your motherfucking ears could ring. Ding dong, you know what I'm saying? We do all sorts of shit here on SkidRowStudios.com. I know there's more than one person out there listening. 1-800-893-9562.
You know, the boys in the booth, they're looking at you and saying, and they're bowling up.
That's my boss right
there.
Yeah,
he's bowling up.
That's my boss.
And bowling up.
That's my boss.
At you, and they're laughing and saying, what fucking plan is this motherfucker come from?
Nah, this shit is great.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yo, it's on you.
You got no time for that.
It's on you. So what you gonna do? You know what I'm saying?
Take your Ritalin, kids.
Yo, you're listening live. You've wasted half your fucking life away. You ain't got no purpose in your life. Shit. Squat. Nada. You know what I'm saying? Call in 1-800-893-9562. This shit is free. You can download us on iTunes. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Just do it, man. Do yourself a favor. Do it. You never know who's going to come up in this motherfucking piece.
Hit my man up on Twitter.
NestoriousNYC.
And I'm at thejudahmonk.com.
And Jack is on motherfucking
Jack. At the Judah Monk at Twitter, no.com, sorry.
Yo, we're not finished. We're just going berserk over here.
I don't Twitter.
We're just going berserk.
You don't tweet? I don't know how to do it. You don't like to tweet?
No, I can't be done.
We're going to get you a tweet.
No, you ain't.
I got the right guy.
Ain't happening.
Same thing. I want to give a big up. Yo, seriously, I want to give a... This is my
big
man.
Up for no Twitter.
No, I'm not Twitter. Big up for Tyson Senna. Big up, you crazy madman. Big up, Washington. Big up the state of Washington. Big up, Dan Crenzes. Big up, Dan Crenzes. You've been listening to us. You kicked XM Radio to the curb. Big up, Dan Crenzes.
For anybody that goes on to the iTunes at Nestorius Public Radio, downloads, gives a 5-star rating, and gives a good
big up.
Recommendation.
A review.
A good review.
And 5 stars.
You get a free big up in the next couple weeks. Within the next couple weeks, you get a free big up.
They're free.
Big up. Free big up.
They're fucking free. They're free. Okay, so my man mentioned Gangsta Squad.
Yeah.
We're going to, we have about 17 minutes left to the show.
Right.
So we can get into this a little bit.
Right.
You know, we're going to get into something else because the topic that I'm going to get into about Gangsta Squad and violence and all that stuff, that's going to be for the next episode. But we're going to get into a little bit of the news. That's not in for now. We're going to get into the news. Something happened that's pretty crazy this past week. There was a limousine that blew up or ignited
right
on a bridge, San Mateo Bridge in San Francisco.
Right.
And it's kind of a trip, you know what I mean? Because there were, I think, 8 or 9 women
right
That's
supposed to have eight. There were nine.
Right. They just found that there was another one.
Well, they just the report came in. There was one over.
Right. So there was eight. Initially eight women, and then they just found that there was another one. Anyway, so the limo driver. I mean, it's a big limo. I'm looking at the fucking picture.
Right. It's one of them big ass ones.
Yo, it's extended. One of them big fucking. Yeah. And the name of the company, if I'm not mistaken, was Stop Limo Company.
Well, they did.
Not a good name, guys. Not a good name. Stop Limo. Come on. You know. Anyway, look. First of all, we're going to take a moment of silence, and we're going to do a rest in peace for the, I believe, four or five women that passed, right? It was a bachelorette party for...
The bride died in it.
For the bride-to-be.
Yeah.
And she passed. I believe, let me see if I can find the woman's name. I'll find the woman's name in a minute. But I want to give a moment of silence to the people... To the women that passed away and the people who got injured, you know, that's a sad thing.
And the people that got left behind.
And the people that got left behind. Yeah, the family. So just a little big up. We're going to go all over the place here.
And that must have been a horrible, horrible thing, too, as well.
Dude. You know,
because they were, the way their structure is that the only two exit doors are in the back.
Yo, that's crazy.
And some of them used to have them where they had one up front, too.
Right.
But a couple of girls that got out, and they got out there by climbing through the window in the front.
Right.
And but the other girls weren't able to because that's the part that ignited.
Right, 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 right. Anyway, so I'm going to read a little bit of this about this shit. Basically, a limousine taking nine women to a bachelorette party erupted in flames, killing five of the passengers, including the bride-to-be. Authorities and the mother of one of the survivors said Sunday. The limo caught fire at around 10 p.m. Saturday on one of the busiest bridges on San Francisco Bay, the California Patrol officer Art Montiel told the Associated Press. Five of the women were trapped, but the four other women managed to get out after the vehicle came to a stop on the San Mateo Hayward Bridge, the patrol said. That's crazy, because those fucking bridges in San Francisco, I mean, you think traffic in L.A. is crazy.
Right.
Those bridges are like bumper to bumper. You ever try to get into San Francisco or out of San Francisco?
But
like
I imagine that once they saw that thing pull over, then people stopped or...
They had no choice. They had to stop. Yeah. But I'm just saying, that must have been some scene.
Right.
That must have been some scene. Anyway, Rosita Guardiano told the San Francisco Chronicle that the woman for whom the bachelorette party was being thrown was to be married next month. Guardiano said her daughter was one of the survivors. Investigators haven't determined what sparked the fire, but the patrol said that the white stretched limo became engulfed in flames after smoke started coming out of the rear of the vehicle. All right, we're not going to get too much into this. The reason I brought this up is going back to the fact that you were a firefighter. What is the first step that a firefighter... I know you were a firefighter in New York, and although I know primarily fires in cities are usually buildings and stuff like that, you don't really have too many...
Well, you get car fires. You certainly... I've never...
People smoking crack and shit.
I haven't heard of anything with a limousine. Certainly not as tragic as this, but I have been part of fires at a social club where there were 98 people that were killed.
And the
doors were locked.
What you're talking about? You're talking about the Happy Land?
Down the Happy Land in South Bronx. Yeah.
Happy Land in South Bronx. That's a fucking...
And not having been to it myself, but I know the guy I worked with, the guys that were the lieutenant that was actually the lieutenant at that fire.
Right.
And then the exit gates, one of the entrances was locked up.
Once
the fire starts in this room and it's at that door.
That's the only door out.
Well, there's only a couple of things to do. And if you can't see, you can't breathe.
You got to find a path of egress. Keep low.
And if the fire's there,
you got to be careful. Because if you open the door and air comes in. So, you know, all jokes aside, though, not many people are prepared for fires.
Right.
Even though in schools, we were taught fire drills, and we took it as a joke.
Right.
We have a call, okay. We were taking those things as a joke. But the truth of the matter is, ask yourselves out there in iPod land, podcast land, in SkidRowStudios.com land, internet land, Google land. Ask yourselves this: how many of you are actually prepared in the event of a fire. Mm. Do you really know what the nearest exit is to wherever you are in the event of a fire?
Well,
it's always a thing.
I become more conscious of it when my wife and I go away to a hotel. I know where the staircase is just because you look for the exit signs.
I look for the free water bottles.
The free water bottles. Yeah, that's the first thing.
I look for the hot tub.
I look for, like, yo, they didn't give us a fucking free water bottle? Right.
Big up to the water.
No, big up. No, back.
Because you're at a Motel 6.
No, seriously, back to the fucking serious thing. No, seriously, what I look for, usually I go to different nicer hotels, right. Except if I'm on the road with comedians.
If you don't care, if it's just to drop, drop your hat.
Motel 3.2.
If they're paying.
I always look for, you know, I'm an electrician by trade. So I'm always, one of the things I look for is just aesthetic, the lighting. Who did the conduit? Could they have done it better?
Right.
Receptacles, are they missing a plate?
Right.
Shit like that.
Right.
But when I go to a hotel, I always look for smoke detectors. Right. Always look. Right. Always look for smoke detectors. And I look to see if that red light is blinking. Because if it's blinking, it's connected, it's on, there's electricity. Right. Usually it's hardwired and it's working. If it's a battery powered one, if it's blinking, it's working.
Right.
So I look for that. I look for paths of egress, definitely, and I always look to see if there are fire extinguishers along the hallway in the cheap motels. In the big hotels, you know, resorts, they have sprinkler systems.
Well, most of them have sprinklers now, too, but the other fire there is just in case to try to contain it.
Right, to contain it, to wet it down. But seriously, all jokes aside, if you own a home, if you live in an apartment complex, if you live in a building in New York City, think about it. You just said, where are you going to go?
Right.
If there's a fire, I mean, World Trade Center is a perfect example. Right. Above a certain floor, it was engulfed in flames. Where are you going to go?
Right.
You know what
there's
I mean?
There's nowhere for
it
to go.
There's nowhere to go.
That was something that was so monumental.
That's another topic.
That's another topic.
Yeah,
sure. And they've become more and more prepared for that with the standpipe system.
Right.
Because, you know, when that got hit, nothing was working.
Right. The standpipe. Explain that to us.
Well, the standpipe is a system that comes up through the building and it tees off at every floor so they can the fire department can feed the water, open up the gates to the water system so it can be pumped up. It's 100 floors.
It's a water pipe that carries water all the way up to the top of the building.
That 8 to 10 inches wide.
It's red.
High-powered.
If you're smoking crack in the stairwell,
you're sitting on it.
You've seen it. It's got a cap on it. Yeah, you've seen it.
Right.
Because if you know who you guys are. You've seen the shit.
And that feeds at least every other floor, maybe the even-numbered floors all the way up. And then maybe you still have to get up to sometimes 15, 20 stories with the hose lens just to hook it up.
Right.
Because there are
male feeds to every one of those.
Yeah, there are caps.
There are caps. And the other thing that when I was working in big skyscrapers and in the financial district especially, because they move. Goldman Sachs, all these places, they move like from fucking month to month. They tear down floors and blah, blah. And you have to bring conduit, fire standpipes, all sorts of shit from floor to floor.
Right.
When you core drill holes in those concrete floors about fucking 3 feet thick, you need to seal off those holes because wherever there's a path of air, fire can escape.
Right.
So one of the jobs I had was to put this fireproofing wall barrier, this like red clay looking thing that's...
You were the apprentice doing that, right?
No. I was a journeyman. I was getting paid $65 an hour to drill 6 holes.
Right.
That was the tittiest job I've ever had, man.
Right.
Straight up.
About 15 years ago, I was like 20 years old and... We had this, me and my friend, we took these two chicks to this Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
I said a hotel, motel,
Holiday Inn.
If your girl starts acting up, then you take her friend. I'm Mr. G. I'm on Melo. It's on you. So what you gonna do? Well, it's on and on and on and on. Like the hot butter, the pop, the pop, the pop, jibby, jibby, pop, 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 pop. You just don't stop. Come alive, y'all.
Tell me what you got.
Ha!
So basically, we took these chicks out, and we were having this, like, hotel party, getting wasted all night. Smoking.
Don't say hotel again, because then I'm going to be fucking... Don't say the
word. It was a hotel, motel, Holiday Inn.
I said, these fuckers start acting up.
You shock you in the chin.
And that's the G. I'm on mellow. It's on you. So what you going to do? Well, it's on and on and on and on. Like the hot butter, the pop, dibby, dibby, pop, 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 pop. You just don't stop or come alive, y'all.
Come on, on the mic, because you know you eat Jell-O. All right.
Yeah, I got my man in the hand on my fellow.
All right. So basically, so we took, and you know, like one of those like
shoot
impromptu,
Carmelo.
You know, one of those impromptu hotel parties where you're smoking.
Don't say the word Hotel.
Shut the fuck up.
Don't say the word hotel.
Okay, we were staying in a building with a room.
Okay.
You know, one of those crazy parties where you're smoking pot out of a pop can and like making out with hooking up with chicks. And so we crashed out at like 4 o'clock in the morning. It was like 11. And I hear this pounding and I wake up. Everyone else is passed out. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm like mad. I'm like, what the hell is that pounding waking me up at 11 and 11
was
o'clock?
Somebody fucking?
No, listen.
Okay.
Did you call the hotel manager?
Can we get
manager?
Some Adderall? Can we get Nestor some Adderall, please? Anyone have an extra pill for the gentleman?
Yeah.
All right. So I look out the window and there's all these people on the street corner and all these fire trucks. I'm like, And I hear this pounding. I'd say to my, and so I'm like, I wonder what's out in the hall. So I open the door and there's smoke everywhere. I shut the door and I'm like, hey guys, I think you should wake up. I think there's a fire. So we get up all like crusty, like what? Mm. And we're like, well, what the fuck do we do? Everyone, we were the last to find out. For some reason, back to smoke detectors, maybe ours wasn't working or something. So we're sitting there crashed out, half naked in a hotel room after a wild night of Scrabble, you know, things the youth do these days.
Right.
And so we come out and the firefighters are like, what the hell are you doing in here? We're like, don't tell our moms, you know?
Wow.
And like,
yeah. Right?
And then they guided us out and it was just nuts, dude. We woke up like wasted, half naked in a hotel on fire. Yeah, man.
You
catch smoking the fire in the
spliff.
Hotel in the holiday.
Smoking, man.
That's right. Hey, I got a post on my Facebook page. Do you know Jimmy Noonan? You got to know Jimmy Noonan.
I think I do.
If you see his face, he's an actor. He's awesome. If you see his face, you know him. Big up, Jimmy Noonan, you bald head motherfucker. Big up, you big bald head bouncer looking fuck. Big up, Jimmy Noonan. I think he was in the Grifters. He played the bartender
Noonan
in the Grifters.
Yeah. On a Sunday afternoon.
Mama. Anyway, he wanted to know to throw in Moneyball. He wants you to say a word or two about Moneyball. Well, baseball,
money boy, played a scout, got a call, worked 3-4 days on it, a lot of fun, had worked with Brad Pitt before, it was a great experience, good for the residuals, later.
Cha-ching!
Yeah.
Cha-ching!
But it's a lot easier to win games when you're in the same division as the fucking Seattle Mariners,
That's true.
Team with a fuckstick owner, piece of shit.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, sounds like somebody's got to talk to his sponsor.
You know what? Just because of that, we're gonna play something sweet. It's about, hold on, we're gonna, because y'all niggas are bugging. Hit it!
Na 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 na.
Land of a thousand dances.
Na 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 na. No, we don't die. Yes, we multiply. Then in one press will hear the fat lady sing. I can't get no recall. I know what bow. Don't know. Touch them up and go. Oh,
cha-cha-cha-ching. That was a reference to cha-cha-cha-ching. Moneyball.
Cha-cha-cha-ching.
All right. We're gonna wrap this shit up because I got to take Jack home, and we're going to bring him back to do another episode.
Jack will be back next week, everybody. We're going to have him on for a two-part episode.
Well, he'll be back on the
journey.
Next episode. Yo, check it out. Bust a Move. Go to iTunes. Go to the podcast page. Go under Note and Noteworthy. New and Noteworthy. Hit all. My joint is in there somewhere. Nestorius Public Radio. Click on that bitch. Subscribe. Download. While you're there, while you're tweaking, go to SkidRowStudios.com. Check out the rest of the shows. And that's it, man. We're going to fucking take this bitch out. We out.
Tweaking on a Sunday afternoon.
We out.
Get it off, let it off. Get it off, get it off, let it off. Get it off. Talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.